listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It's the Forza Podcast. It is Tuesday?
Is it Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday, August 11th. It's your boy, Marsh, still here in sunny South Florida, hotter than hell. I'm sweating right now again. It's nighttime. And as always, I'm joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, how's vacation life? How you doing, buddy?
It's good, man. It's good. Like, it's very hot here. It is currently 98 degrees, and it's dark outside.
Good Lord.
Yep. But, you know, it's only 12% humidity, so we're doing well.
Yeah, me and my brother were outside running some routes today. By the way, I have a cannon of an arm. Yeah. My God. I don't like to brag. I kind of like to brag, but like in a joking way. This isn't joking. Yeah. I have an incredible arm. But anywho, we were outside running routes, but running routes, everything like that. Yeah. I looked after 10 minutes, I looked like I had just been doused in like oil. Or grease. I looked like I was ready for a bodybuilding competition.
Hey there.
Just still blows my mind. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. We're back.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's all good.
Yeah, it was. I have a great arm, but it's just too hot for me to play football.
We need to go run some routes up at your alma mater, dude. East High.
East High? Yep. Yeah, we should. I mean, they have a statue of me at that school, so
yeah.
I could have access, you know, whenever I want. But so Canes fans, we're doing this thing. So, you know, I was part of the media tonight. We got to talk to Coach Manny Diaz, Coach Todd Stroud, also Jalen Phillips and Jafari Harvey. It was day 5 of fall camp. So we talked to them for a little bit, but before we get to that, a little sad news. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 today officially canceled their football seasons for 2020. Jordan, I know you have some thoughts.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get why you're sad, you know, being a Utes fan and stuff. But honestly, man, I'm not sad at all. I mean, I hate the Big Ten more than any other conference. And, you know, like I said on my Twitter account, this is going to be the first time that in NCAA history that they don't cram 6 mediocre Big Ten teams into the rankings from 7 to 25. We're not going to have an 18th ranked Northwestern in week 8.
Yeah, we don't have to see Iowa at number 15 right now.
Oh my gosh. Dude, nothing kills me more than going into like – the last 2 weeks of the season, you have like a number 7 Iowa, and they haven't beat anyone good. Their wins are all teams like Illinois.
Yeah, and all their games are like they win by like if the score's like 12-10.
Yeah, dude, they win 1-2-0.
Yeah, exactly. Like they win 9-3 against Minnesota with 10 people in the stands, and it's -40 outside. Like who gives a shit?
And that's before Minnesota was even good.
Yeah, that's true. But
I don't care that the Big Ten's gone, man. I hope that they never come back, honestly.
I will say I love Jim Harbaugh. I love him. Like he's just a football guy, and I love him. Like they announced that the Big Ten was canceling football today, and yet Michigan was still practicing. Yeah.
Dude, I feel like there's no way that he takes that sitting down. I just saw on Twitter that there was someone saying that the Big 12 is talking to Nebraska and BYU right now about expanding. So,
BYU to the Big 12?
Yeah, just for the year, man. I mean, they need something.
Yeah,
I think we talk way too much BYU on this podcast. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I guess it's the spirit. but I mean, Nebraska was always, I mean, they used to be a part of the Big 12, so I understand that, but I can't express like how stupid I think it is to cancel fall, but play in the spring and then try and play again fall 2021. I think that's just idiotic that would push for a spring season and then play another football season a few months later. That's so stupid.
Here's a take that no one's pushing is, say spring comes around and you know they're going to do like a February or March start, and you're a prospect. Let's say you play for Ohio State and you have not played your senior year, but you have a fourth round draft grade right now. Why would you play football?
Like Penny Sewell.
You're a month and a half away from getting drafted and you have a fourth round grade. Why would you risk getting hurt?
Yeah.
Even if you have a sixth round grade.
Well, I mean, freaking look at Oregon. Our boy Penny Sewell. Like, he's from St. George, where you're at right now. And fun fact, my mom's best – I said this on Twitter earlier, and obviously, like, he's probably just going to opt out because he's a top five pick next year in the draft. But if he doesn't, my mom's best friend taught him and his brothers in high school. So, like – and he follows my brother on Instagram. So I'm not saying that I'm an insider, but, like, I kind of am. So, like whatever. Well, but
I'll just say you have a responsibility, Marshall.
I can move mountains. I can do anything. Another player on Oregon that maybe, you know, could possibly think of transferring, Justin Flo.
It sounds like a pipe dream, but you know what? I'm all about it.
It's definitely not going to happen, but like, I got the Larry David face. I got hand up on it.
Weirder things have happened, right?
Yeah. Oh, much weirder things have happened. But yeah, it's at least that I'm just happy that the ACC and the SEC are planning to – and the Big 12 are like fully planning on playing this year. And like, thank God for them. I hope no one bashes the SEC ever again just because they are doing the Lord's work right now.
Well, dude, how about all of – you know, the southeastern part of the country.
I mean, football means more here, honestly.
Well, thank goodness for Southerners, man, because they are single-handedly giving us a college football season.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and as of right now, it's 11:03 Miami time. 30 days from now, at this time, our Miami Hurricanes will be well on their way to a 1-0 start against the UAB Blazers of Birmingham, Alabama.
Don't jinx us, man. UAB could give us the old Butch Davis. You know, we could get butched.
They could give us the old oh shit.
Yeah.
At halftime when we're down 10-7.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? What if we are – because we're going to be – like, I'm assuming that we'll record after that game. Yeah. Like, what if we – a month from – or 30 days from now, we are recording and saying, I don't know what the hell just happened, but the final score reads UAB 24, Miami 20.
Oh, dude, what if we're recording and it's – I don't know who this Rhett Lashley guy is, but we just got sold.
What if 30 days from now, calling for the firing of Manny Diaz, and I mean, it's not going to happen, but my God, what if?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, okay. That I don't hurts. Know. Yeah, I don't want making these jokes.
That's a dark road.
That is a dark road. Maybe I'm just tired, and I think it's I'd like to pat myself on the back because I think I was pretty funny on Twitter today. I was in the joking mood. I don't know. But let's get to some
The Sunday morning or the following day headline is Ed Reed, better player than executive.
Yeah. Headline, Ed Reed, and I quote, I'm done with this shit.
Yeah. He's the Isaiah Thomas of college football.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But let's get to some serious stuff. So like I said earlier, I was part of the media that was able to talk to Coach Manny Diaz. He was the first one who spoke. And honestly, most every single question was about the COVID-19 outbreak and things like that. Obviously, I mean, just listening to Coach Diaz talk, it's it's very clear he's a politician's son just because he speaks so well and he speaks so convincingly that, like, yeah, I'm just very happy that he is our head coach, honestly. Like, just the way that he explained how the team is approaching this COVID situation and that, you know, they're not focused on anything going around the country in terms of conferences shutting down. They're just focused on what's going on in Coral Gables and keeping each other safe and the program safe. So I thought that was very, very enlightening and very comforting just because of, you know, where we are in this country. And with all this bad news in college football, it was really good to hear Coach Diaz talk. And but yeah, I mean, today was the first day. He did say that today was the first day Miami was in full pads. There's no scrimmages yet, but today was the first day Miami was in full pads. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, that is. That's great news. And you know, I'm so anxious to see, in a good way, I'm excited to see our defensive line play. Missing Greg is going to be a huge blow, but we're so deep that I'm still pumped. It's still the most exciting position group on the team, which is incredible.
Yeah. Well, and that brings me to my next point because Coach Todd Stroud, he's the defensive line coach. He was the second man to speak. Really, really bright guy. He's been around the game for a long time. He had a really funny line where he says, I'm the kind of guy that's been quarantined for 57 years. I don't get outside much, or I don't get out much outside of football. So that, that as a football guy myself, as someone who doesn't get outside much of football, that made my heart very warm. But a few things that I wanted to talk to you guys about. The first thing is Jalen Phillips, and we also talked to Jalen Phillips. Jalen Phillips, I want to share with you a quote that Coach Stroud shared on Jalen Phillips. He said, I would put Jalen Phillips in the 99th percentile of any player I have ever coached in terms of physical attributes.
Wow.
And you realize that Coach Stroud, I mean, he coached Mario Williams, who's the number one pick in the NFL draft back in 2006. So I just want everyone to realize what that statement means and that holy shit. Like that is and I will completely admit, back when we first started this podcast and we were previewing spring ball and everything, I wouldn't say I was skeptical on Jalen Phillips, but you know, it had been a little bit since he had played football. He arrived at Miami last year. This time last year, the kid was 225 pounds.
Yeah.
And he is 270 now. And so, when we were previewing spring, I was like, you know, it'll be – I don't know if he can, you know, recapture that glory that he had because he was the number one recruit coming out of high school. When he was on the field at UCLA, you know, he was good. But when you're out of the game for, like, that long or you're just, like, you can't play in a game, like, he couldn't, like, really practice last year. He was really just in the weight room. It's so hard to get back into game shape and just get back to where you were. But he says he is in the physical shape of his life.
Is he a redshirt junior or a redshirt sophomore?
So he is a redshirt junior. And I would not be surprised if this is the first and only year he plays for the Canes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we certainly have to be prepared for that. And luckily we'll have Jafari Harvey. But it could hurt losing Greg, Jalen, and Quincy Roche on the same year. But, you know, like, that's why you recruit really well.
Yeah. And Coach Stroud, you know, he's very, very excited about that trio of Jalen Phillips, Quincy Roche, and Jafari Harvey. Obviously, it sucks. It sucks to lose a guy like Greg Russo this early because we really only got to see him play in 12 games. But Coach Stroud said that these three, Roche, Phillips, and Harvey, could be some of the most dominant defensive ends we've seen in a long time at Miami. And this is coming off after a year where Gregory Rousseau had 15 and a half sacks.
Dude, he probably goes home and is so excited about his roster every night, you know, his position group.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's also very high on Chance Williams. I wanted to point that out because I think Chance Williams could see some – I think he could become that fourth defensive end in that rotation this year.
Is he – did he redshirt last year or is he a true freshman?
So Chance Williams is a true freshman. He is from – I believe it was Oakleaf High School. He was teammates with Jalen Rivers.
Okay, yeah. I've been getting the last two classes kind of mixed up. But, yeah, he was very highly rated and lots of people were high on him. So I have a few questions because this is the first time that I've heard of this stuff. We didn't talk about this before the pod. I saw on Twitter that someone said that Jalen Phillips hit 22 miles an hour on the treadmill. Was that confirmed at all, or do you know if that's a fact?
It wasn't talked about on the Zoom call, and I have heard something like that. It very well could be a fact. Like, I would not be surprised if that was true at all because he's 270 pounds, but he moves like Coach Stroud said it best. He moves like a safety.
Jeez, dude, if that's true, if he really hit 22 miles an hour, then we're gonna have to I don't know, man. He's gonna have to be registered with the United Nations or something as a weapon of mass destruction. That's just not fair to be 270 and move that quick. Like, you could kill someone.
Well,
then, imagine him sprinting and just blowing up a slot receiver on a bubble screen.
Or just think about poor James Blackman, who is probably 118 pounds soaking wet. Yeah. Imagine Jalen Phillips coming at him with that speed. Nice. I thought Joe Jackson and Jonathan Garvin terrorized that man 2 years ago. But this year, it might actually get – or no, I guess Blackman wasn't the quarterback that year. It was DeAndre Francois. But, yeah, I mean, Jalen Phillips, I will completely admit when I'm wrong, and I was totally off and wrong about that. And he's just a good kid. Like, he talked about when he went and donated some clothes in Overtown because, you know, these athletes get so much gear in. He's just a good – a good kid. And I think Hurricanes fans, we are very, very lucky that he is, you know, playing for the Canes.
Yeah, I've been on, you know, since I saw that, I've kind of been on the wagon that he was going to be like one of the locker room leaders. You know, it's been a minute, but for a while there, I was referring to him as team captain, you know, after Quarterman and those guys left. So, I'm excited. I would love to see him in a starting role. I've been excited at the prospect of him having a breakout year, and I really hope we get to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you pair him with a guy like Quincy. Sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
But I was just gonna say, then you talk. I mean, you pair him with a veteran guy like Quincy Roche, who's been there before, who had 13 sacks last year. He was defensive. He was the conference defensive player of the year in the AAC. It's just a perfect – obviously, like I said, it sucks to lose a guy like Gregory Rousseau. But, I mean, people at Miami – former players have said it perfectly in the past where we don't rebuild at certain positions. We reload. And at defensive end, I think that is 100% the case right now.
Yeah, I agree, man. So, question. I just want to know if any of these names got brought up. So, we heard a little bit about Jason Blissett. There was some noise about him, you know, being a potential huge breakout candidate. Did you hear anything about him?
Yes. There was a question asked about him. I think Coach Stroud talked how he is going to be at defensive tackle and that he's progressing well. I will say that he did mention Nesta Silvera and John Ford. He talked about them in particular, how, you know, because both these guys came back, I think in the spring or after the pandemic, a little bit heavier. He was – I'm trying to remember what he said. He – John Ford came back at – he was like 334 pounds, and he's now down to like 320. And Silvera was a little bit lighter than that, but he's saying that both those guys are progressing really, really well. And we all expect that Nesta is going to hope – I mean, we all know that Nesta has that talent to become a really good defensive tackle and a star defensive tackle. But John Ford is the kind of guy that if he can maybe not be a star – but be a more effective than he was last year and be just that number two defensive tackle that shuts down the middle, that will be huge for the Canes defense, because I know you and I were, you know, we've questioned the defensive tackles a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still skeptical. I would love to see Nesta have a good year, but I mean, to me, man, like I'm not getting excited about Nesta right now. And it would probably take a lot of noise from camp to change that. But to me, I mean, I think he's definitely a player to watch, but that's more because we need him, not because he's primed for anything. I mean, he has the talent, but I don't know if that makes sense. It's not a guy like Bubba Bolden where, you know, I watched him on the field and I'm thinking, man, I'm excited to see what he comes back with next year. It's not quite that. It's more like, you know, man, I really hope Nesta can live up to his potential finally.
Yeah, definitely. And going back to Jason Blissett, I can't remember that if he was – at DT, but I'm pretty sure he has slid over to defensive end, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him in both spots because he's just that mobile and that athletic, and he's like 265, and our defensive ends, like, they're not that heavy.
Jafari Harvey's huge, though. Does he look incredibly large on camera?
He looked jacked.
Yeah.
And just giant, huge. Same with Jalen Phillips. Jafari Harvey looks like the Predator.
Yeah, well, dude, so I'm a big dude. I'm like 265, and Jafari Harvey's forearm is about the size of my thigh.
And I think it was a coach, I think it was Coach Stroud talking today how Jafari Harvey is their fastest defensive end. And one of the questions tonight was, you know, Jafari, what was the fastest 40 you ever clocked in? He said it was a 4.6. And we've talked about this. We talked about this a few weeks ago when we had Stefan on, because he wrote a piece on Jafari. But I think Harvey, now that Rousseau is gone, Harvey's going to get a lot more snaps. And he's a redshirt freshman. I'm not going to say he's going to have the redshirt freshman year that Gregory Rousseau had. But I don't be surprised if Jafari Harvey ends 2020 with 8 to 10 sacks.
Dude, he's gonna be a monster. I think you're right. I don't think he'll get a lion's share of the snaps, because I think Phillips and Roche will, you know, hold down the starter positions for the whole year. But it wouldn't surprise me if going into next season, Harvey is like in the first three rounds on mock drafts. You know, they're like, if he comes out, he's going to be I'm trying to be modest in that, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, Harvey has first, second round talent written all over him.
He absolutely does. I was trying to be modest, because I've been burned so many times by predicting big things for Canes, you know. But it would not surprise me if this time next year, you know, all the NFL draft gurus are like, you know, watch Jafari Harvey this year with a great season. He could be a first-round pick.
Yeah. Dude, especially with Coach Stroud, I really, really like Coach Stroud. I know a lot of people – I feel like he isn't mentioned enough. Just because of because we've had a really good line of defensive line coaches, you know, Jess Simpson, you know, the other guy whose name I can't pronounce.
The hell was his name?
Rogowski, so, yeah.
Yep. Coach Cool. Well, I think part of that is because the nature of how Stroud was hired. If I remember correctly, when Manny assembled his staff, we were not planning on Jess Simpson leaving. And well, so Coach Stroud was hired as chief of staff.
Yes, yes, you are correct. Yeah, yeah. Coach Simpson's, because he left to the Falcons, and that was a big surprise. And yeah. I love Coach Simpson.
Yes. Loved. Oh, fantastic coach. Love to have him back. But yeah, so I think that has to do with something, though, is that we hired Coach Stroud to be an off-field coach, and then we just kind of repurposed him after Coach Simpson left. So that could be part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kinda,
absolutely.
It kind of felt like he was a stopgap and then he ended up staying.
Yeah. I really like him. I was impressed with him last year, like when we interviewed him after practice, and you can tell that he's been around the game for a long time and he's seen a lot of good talent, and the way that he was speaking tonight, kind of like what you said, he just looks so excited and sounded so confident in his defensive line and especially the defensive ends, because I'm so – like, I can't get over how excited I am to watch Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche this year. I can't get over it. I think they are going to absolutely destroy opposing quarterbacks. Like, I was high on the Jalen Phillips train before tonight, you know, because of how he did in spring and everything. But when your defensive line coach says that he is in the 99th percentile of plays he's coached, that just – I mean,
yeah,
like it's insane. It's amazing. It's like Picasso.
Well, I mean, especially, I mean, we haven't heard much about Chance Williams, but you know, if people are high on him too, imagine walking in thinking, well, I have an elite veteran. I have another guy that is the most elite physical specimen that I've seen in a long time. And then I have a young guy who is just as good as both of them, you know, and then a whole like mess of young guns that are, you know, going to be just fine. Like, what's there to complain about? You know, he has the easiest job in America right now.
Yeah. You basically just say, hey, Jalen, go.
Yeah. Right. Hey, Jalen, run 22 miles an hour as a 270-pound guy.
And he like, I saw him tonight on the Zoom, and then there was a clip of him because the Canes account posted like highlights of today's practice. You watch Jalen Phillips play, you would never guess that he's 270 pounds. Because he looks like he's 220, but he's massive. Like he's just one big muscle.
That's horrifying, dude. But I don't trust like people. I don't trust people when they look like they're 220, but they're actually 260.
Yeah, that's like, scary as shit.
Like, where are they hiding it? You know? I hope I don't find out.
I mean, like, because I remember I was at fall camp last year, and I saw Jalen Phillips. I think it was, like, his first day at Miami or something like that. And I'm like, this kid was the number one recruit in America? I'm like, he has as big as legs as I do. And that's small. But like, it's amazing. I wanted to mention something else, and this wasn't about tonight. This was from a few nights ago where Rob Likens was being interviewed, and he talked about Jeremiah Payton.
Okay.
Did you see this?
I did not.
Called him first round talent and one of the most gifted players he's ever seen. I'm gonna go pull up the quote. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on Jeremiah Payton and just that line in general? Okay, wait, hold on. Before you start, it says, here's the quote. He says, this is Rob Likens about Jeremiah Payton. One thing I can tell you about Jeremiah Payton is that his talent level is as good as anybody I've ever coached. And that is saying a lot because I have coached a couple of first round draft picks. Jeremiah has that type of talent.
Wow.
Wow.
So I trust Rob Likens when he says that. I mean, we've heard that before. You know, we've heard that Peyton was killing it on the scout team all year. I don't know why we didn't play him. It's probably the running back coach's fault. I mean, who knows?
and just to make sure, we're not talking about Coach Hickson either.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not talking about our running back coach. I'm talking about Mr. Bearcat.
Our former offensive coordinator.
Yeah. So that's not entirely surprising, but it is, like, that's huge. Because we've been, I mean, me and you have tried to push D. Wiggins into that role, and I still think D. Wiggins could be great, but we desperately need an outside number one receiver. We need that B button receiver if you're playing Madden, you know?
Oh, and that X button if you're playing NCAA.
Yeah.
That you said that perfectly. B button, that's perfect. Like, because Amon Richards was that kind of receiver. Unfortunately, you know, his career was cut short. But we haven't had that kind of receiver, like first round talent. I know Philip Dorsett was a first rounder, but there's a difference between Philip Dorsett and Andre Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to Philip Dorsett, but you know, he was a combine hero, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
He wasn't a first-round pick until he ran a 4.3, or whatever he ran. 4.2? Did he run a 4.2? I don't know.
I know.
But take away his 40 time, and he would have been a fourth-rounder.
But Jeremiah Payton, like, we need that kind of dominant receiver like Andre was. Like, we can't, like, I'm all for, like, having, like, guys, you know, 500, 600 yards, but, like, we need a receiver that can take over games and that can dominate any cornerback in the country. I mean, look at what Andre, you ever go back and watch the 2002 Rose Bowl against Nebraska? Andre Johnson was a man amongst toddlers that night. And by the way that Rob Likens is talking, Jeremiah Payton could potentially be that next guy, like become what we've been searching for in a receiver for a long time.
Dude, you know how excited I am to fast forward 2 years from now and have Tyler Van Dyke throwing to Jeremiah Payton, Xavier Restrepo, and that kid from San Diego that we got as our three best receivers. What's his name? Keyshawn Smith?
Yeah, Keyshawn Smith.
Yeah, Keyshawn Smith. That's going to be it.
Who I'm also hearing great things about.
Dude, I mean, yeah, just watch his film. Like, that dude, not only is he incredibly talented in his high school film, like, he's long, he's rangy, he's very fast, but you can tell that he's got some FU attitude as well.
Oh, 100%. Like, and Peyton is, like, because Coach Likens, I believe the quote was that he wants to use about 5 to 6 receivers. So we're going to trot out, you know, 3 starting receivers, but that doesn't mean that other guys aren't going to get the ball. And Keyshawn Smith, I think we're going to see him
get the ball. I think we see him and Restrepo this year, man, for sure.
Yeah. Like, and Coach Likens told reporters last night that Keyshawn Smith is making a really, really strong case to get in the game and get in the game a lot.
Cool. Yeah, so if we're doing 5 or 6 receivers, I have to think, if he's talking about Peyton that way, you got to throw him out there. And then we got D. Wiggins. We got Mike Harley. I wonder if Mark Pope will be in there. I would assume so, but I wouldn't bet on it. But then I would guess it's Restrepo and Keyshawn Smith.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm really excited to see Mark Pope this year.
Dude, I hope so.
I really feel that he takes that next step.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same place that I am with Nesta. I mean, I've said that a million times, but it's just like, yeah, like, cool. You know, he should, and we'll see.
Oh, trust me. I mean, I've been very vocal about Mark Pope on this podcast, but I don't know what it is. Like the last 2 months, I've had like a spiritual experience where a lot of it comes down to the simplicity of this offense.
Yeah.
And that they get the ball to their playmakers. Like they actually get the ball to their playmakers.
They don't just say that in press conferences and then.
Yeah. They don't say. Yeah.
Do 16 step drops.
Exactly. It's one thing to say that because our former offensive coordinator said that he was going to get the ball to Jeff Thomas 10 to 15 times a game. And I think Jeff Thomas averaged like 2 to 3 catches last year.
I think he meant 15 times a year.
That was good. That was good. You dog, you.
Dude, Jeff Thomas was the last player on our team that I said was going to be a first round pick.
I said Jonathan Garvin was going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah. I thought Joe Jackson would be like a top-5 pick.
Yeah. I thought Chad Thomas was going to go high. I thought RJ McIntosh. If McIntosh had stayed, you never know. I thought Gerald Willis was going to be a first-round pick. He definitely – I don't know what the hell happened there. Yeah. But
– I heard it was that Gators coaches were trashing him.
Oh, big surprise there. Oh, my God. I can't take Gator fans anymore. I can't do it. Like, obviously, Corey Collier committed to UF, and we were talking on Sunday night how that maybe not getting Jason Marshall was a bump in the road. I think UF has a ton of momentum right now, and it really sucks.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing is, I mean, let's be honest. I'm gonna give some context because I don't want to be accused of being like a hater or whatever. Okay. Corey Collier is a great player. You know, I tweeted if he's good enough for LSU, he's definitely good enough for us, and I stand by that. He is definitely good enough to play on the Miami Hurricanes. However, safety is our most loaded position going forward. Not currently, but with the talent that we have moving forward, dude, we are so loaded. And last year's recruiting class that just came on campus, and then this current one that will come on campus, next spring. So it's not a huge blow for us to not get Corey Collier. That was kind of... You know, I think we were doing that trying to just get all of the Palmetto 5 in what that would do for us momentum-wise.
Yeah.
Just because to say that, hey, we got all the best talent from Palmetto. We got all the best talent from Miami Northwestern. We got all the best talent from Deerfield Beach last year. Like we're just cleaning up in Florida schools. And we can't say that anymore for this class, just because, you know, we've lost so much momentum to Florida, but I don't know, man. It is what it is. It's not a huge deal. We're still going to have a great class.
Well, yeah, we're still a top 10 class, and we still have, I think, 3 spots left.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I'm not, you know, losing Jason Marshall was a much, much bigger hit than losing Corey Collier. And that is, one, I think Marshall was the better player, and two, it's because we needed a cornerback a lot more than we needed a safety.
I agree. We need Markavius Brown, maybe even – what about our boy Steven Ortiz? You think we could even – what if we make a push?
I don't know. Call Rumpf.
Nah.
Let's stuff some newspaper and Steven Ortiz under his heels. You know, let's have him gain an inch or two, prove that he's 6 feet, and that way Manny and Banda and Rumpf or whoever's in charge of that stupid rule can get over themselves, and then we can get a talented corner.
Okay, so if we have 3 spots left, let's I know we talked about this the other night, but let's close on this note. 3 spots left recruiting wise, who are you taking? Let's do this. Let's do dream scenario and then realistic. What do you think?
Okay, so let's see. Dream scenario. And we're keeping Savion Collins, right?
Yes, yeah, the class stays as it is. Okay. As it is.
Okay, so let's see. I would say dream scenario, I have to throw in Jake Garcia, and that's because we have no momentum with any other high-level QBs. And I really think that we should have one. So I'm going to go Jake Garcia, Terrence Lewis, and Mason Smith is my dream scenario.
Chase Smith?
Mason Smith.
Or no, Mason Smith. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say Jake Garcia. Hmm. Mason Smith. And Markavius Brown.
Okay.
Just because. Yeah. Wait, who is your three again? You had Garcia, Terrence Lewis. Okay. Here's my actual scenario. I would not be surprised, and I'm not predicting anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if a little smoke from if Terrence Lewis and Miami, if something happens there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's some whispers.
Have you seen his tape?
No, I haven't, honestly.
That dude is a freak of nature. I know he has his off-field issues.
Yeah.
And you know what? Who's to say that he can't get that stuff worked out? 17 years old, you know, if Manny's willing to work with him, take him.
Yep.
Take him. And Terrence is committed to, you know, cleaning up the image. Take him, because that is a first round talent. I think he had 116 tackles, like 11 sacks, two interceptions. I'm telling you, the kid is one of the most gifted linebackers in high school that I've seen in a minute. He is unbelievable. And so, but my realistic three that we get, I'm going to say, I don't know.
I'm going to say Daryl, what's his name from Jackson? Tennessee? Daryl Jackson.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that may have lost a little steam, but I'm completely wrong. I wouldn't be surprised if Amari Daniels joins the class, running back out of Miami Central. I love Amari Daniels. And also, don't count Jaden Hood out either, because he's committed to Michigan right now. He's at St. Thomas Aquinas here in Fort Lauderdale. He's a kid that I always really, really, really liked. Because Ja'Cory Hammett, he flipped from Miami to West Virginia last week, which opens up the spot. And I think we need to get a true linebacker. We know we have these edge rushers and things like that, but we need a guy like a Jaden Hood or a Terrence Lewis. Oh my God, there is a palmetto bug right in front of me.
I don't know what those are.
They're flying cockroaches.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, so finish up what were you saying? Because I'm about to run for my life.
Yeah, so
shit.
I'm going to go. Yeah.
It's Jurassic Park. Sorry to cut you off, but Florida is – I'm looking at this thing. I feel like I could be like narrating a documentary on National Geographic.
Oh, man. Yeah, I saw a squirrel today. It's pretty cool.
Do you like The Office?
Yeah. I mean, yes. Short answer is yes. I don't hold it in the esteem that most people in our generation do, but I've seen it three times. So what does that say?
Okay. Oh, and this is a complete side note, because you say I saw a squirrel today, and I know a lot. You know when he's getting shaved in his office.
You cut out for a minute. So if you could start from just when you said, you know, this is off subject, but since I said I saw a squirrel.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Sorry, I had to move away from the flying cockroach. Remember when Will Ferrell is getting it's the first episode that he's in, and he's getting a guy comes in to shave his face.
Yeah.
It cuts to Will Ferrell, and he just says, "I saw a hawk today."
yeah, dude. I actually just watched that episode like a few days ago.
I think that's so same, and I think that line is so hilarious. And the guy's just shaving his face. The guy doesn't say anything back to him, but Will Ferrell goes like, "Saw a hawk today," just staring right at me.
Oh man.
Oh Lord.
The office is good.
The office is good. Okay, but do you have anything else to add on the recruiting or anything else?
No, I mean I'm kind of with you. I'd probably say Daryl Jackson. I think Amari Daniels is a solid addition. I think you're right there. And I don't know, man.
We need to push for Marcavius Brown because he's a really good cornerback, and we need a really good cornerback.
Yeah, I don't know. I need to just bury my head in the sand for a few months. I did the thing where I got too excited, and then the first time I get burned, I'm like, oh wait, yeah, that's why I don't get too excited.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you're in the podcast business now, man. Like you get, like it's a year-round job.
It is.
It really is.
And business is booming, Marshall.
Business is booming. Got a.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you got some good news coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be good news.
It would be good news, and like I said, and like we said, guys, merch.
Merch is coming.
Merch is coming. I have so many ideas for hats and shirts. It is coming with a damn vengeance.
Yeah. So, I mean, are we going to set up like a little lemonade stand type thing and sell our shirts outside of Hard Rock Stadium?
Absolutely, dude. Like at the tailgate tent.
Let's do it.
I mean, we'll hire someone to like sell while we're partying at the tailgate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll just get my girlfriend to do it for free, man.
Aw. That's so nice of her.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, brother. Hopefully we can we'll be recording again soon. We still need the second half of the season for the Canes.
Yeah. Let's shoot for Friday.
All right. I'm down as a clown, Charlie Brown.
Nice.
Have fun on that vacation, my friend.
Will do, man. Will do. I'm going to Sand Hollow tomorrow, so I'm going to get some beach time.
Oh, love Sand Hollow. Well, I mean, I don't love Sand Hollow, but my mom – I hate Sand Hollow, but my mom loves it.
Okay. I feel like you secretly love this place.
I hate it so much, I can't even begin to tell you. I hate St. George.
I don't believe you.
Shut up. All right, go Canes.
All right, go Canes, man.
Forza Podcast. Remember to like and leave a comment to help our podcast grow.